and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling your softy to a success for you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We're up and running, and man, do I have a show. Do I have another show for you today? I mean, I love the flavour of guests we have on, your listeners. But yeah, I'll go into that in a second. But here I am. I am out and about. Yes, I am hiking and biking this week. Although we are in a lockdown rained country, for sure. Everything is wet in the UK right now. Everybody is wet and everybody's thinking wet. It's crazy when we're all actually naturally waterproof. How crazy is that? We don't go out in the rain, but yet nothing gets through our skin. We could walk around in the nude all day and our insides would still stay dry. But yet we got to get layered up. Yes, I get there's a temperature thing. But guess what, listeners? I am out. I'm in my camper van. So this week I'm working and lifestyle at the same time. So important. If you run a business, you know, so many people out there, so many brilliant people out there fail to rest their mind, fail to recharge themselves, fail to reboot. We have to reboot our laptop every day or it doesn't like it. Same thing with our heart, same thing with our minds, and same things with our beings. Remember, human being, not human doing. So that's why I decided last minute, the middle of last week, I didn't even look at the weather. I just said, you know what, Deb, to my beautiful wife, I'm going to take the van. I'm going to chuck my mountain bikes on. I'm going to get my hiking boots and I'm going off for a week. I'm going to do some work in between there. But you know what? I need to reset my mind. I need to make profits in my life, not in my business. And to make profits in my life, what do I need to do, listeners? Get out there, relax. This is the only digital portion of my week is today. I'm giving this portion, not because I wish to, but because the man I have on the show, man, we have been table tennising back and forth to get him on here. He's an amazing, heartfelt person, you know, so I'm wanting to get him on here. I'm wanting this to happen. That's why I'm excited about this today. But Deb isn't with me. My beautiful co-presenter wife and everything that makes me whole. No, she's not with me this week. Why? Because she's a five-star hotel person, not dig a hole and take a poo person. For sure, she's someone that really does like her luxuries. For me, I like, you know, I like being in my van. I like having that exposure to the elements. It refreshes me. I mean, they say it's because I'm a Taurus and we're earthly people. I don't know. Maybe I just like getting wet. Maybe I like getting mucky. Maybe that's the child in me. I don't know, but I'm here. I'm here, and I want you to think about the importance of vitamin D. Now, listen, I'm not a health in a sense of I don't know all the vitamins and things, but I heard a story from one of my mates the other day, and he said, you know what? They reckon the vitamin D is the answer to so much. So where does vitamin D come? Of course, natural daylight. Get yourself out there. Get from under the fluorescent and get out there and be sure, you know, Deb often says to me, say, Paul, when it's raining, don't you get, I said, no, I don't get fed up because here's the thing. It's only raining until you get out in it. Then it's not raining anymore. It's just part of what's happening. It's a whole different thing. Rain is a mindset in the sense of, I'm not going out because I'll get wet. No, go out, get wet, get refreshed. You're not in the rain anymore. You're just part of what's happening in the environment. That's the difference. And guess what? As I said, you'll not get inside. It'll not get inside you. But it's so refreshing. It's a natural cleanser and all these beautiful things. And that's how important it is. So that's why I am this week. I've milked the guts out of it. I'm glad to be here. And where are you? Yes, of course, you are UK Health Radio. And you are listening to Paul and his business talk show and everything else that comes with that. And we have, as I say, a beautiful guest with us today. So here we go. I want to get this man in here because do you know what? We're going to bring today a subject that's kind of misunderstood, not understood. And for many, we'll almost give you that kind of, oh, feel to it. Because as soon as we mention what are asset-based finance and leasing, these kinds of words, people kind of shut down as they do when they hear business coaching. I mean, listen, I've said that word many times. What do you do, Paul? I'm a business coach. It's almost like, are you selling double glazing? Or are you selling a car? People just kind of switch off. And I get that. And that's purely because a lack of understanding, a lack of appreciation of what comes with that. And I'm going to say more so than anything, the amount of rookies that are out there. And, you know, yeah, I just said that, the amount of rookies are out there. So I'm going to do this. Before further ado, I'm going to introduce this amazing. Now, I met this chap on Authentic Networking. And authentic is exactly what he is. Don't you meet a true Londoner and you think, wow, they're still out there? They're still about? Yes, this man is a true Londoner. A true man that cares for so many people. His greatest hobby in life is family. And being that influencer to people in life now is where we are. Let me bring him on. Let me give this man a huge round of applause. I'm going to bring him in. Let's welcome to the show the wonderful, the amazing, of course, Mike Deacon. Mate.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Paul. I'm glad you're getting wet and soggy wherever you are.
Well, here's the thing. It's like when people go to festivals in festival season, you know, it's wetter than this and they still enjoy themselves. So, you know, Mike, weather is just a part of life, not an end to life, for sure. And if we embrace it in that way, you know, we get to utilize. I'm someone that likes to utilize all that I can be within my day. You know, what I see from yourself, you're very much this kind of person. But why I wanted to, you know, what I wanted to bring on to this, let's just, first of all, let's say this. You run a business, and that business is Asset Based Finance Leasing Limited. Now, the moment I've said that, so many people will just fail to understand or switch off. Tell me what that means.
Okay, very simple. It does what it says on the tin. Asset-based finance means any asset. It could be a piece of machinery. It could be computer equipment. It could be any tangible asset. It could even be your invoices, where you can't get paid by your customers. So your invoices are an asset. What do you need to do? You need to get cash. I can help release that with the work that I do. I help businesses raise cash for them, for their business, so that they can perform day to day. They can then serve their customers and they can keep their employees happy and paid.
Wow. I mean, Mike, is cash harder to find now?
Yeah, really difficult. And most people will know there's a cost of living crisis in the UK. Mm-hmm. It's actually a worldwide phenomenon. But in the UK, which is where I primarily operate, I do work abroad as well. But in the UK, it's a big problem. And a lot of smaller micro businesses, they're really struggling with their cash because suppliers want their money now. And customers don't want to pay until late.
Yeah.
So the cash gap is widening in time terms. So I'm seeing a lot of small businesses right now coming to me to say, can you help me find cash? I need some working capital just to keep the tills ticking over.
Wow. Working capital, I mean, that in itself is a stressed word now, or a stressed, stressed word that I can say with the days of cash, it was a lot easier. But as I say now, when we think about, you know, assets, and as you say there, it's gone topsy-turvy or almost inside out, where you're seeing that, you know, the lead time to customers paying and the lead time to actually paying as kind of, it's fusing. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it is confusing. And here's the thing. I'll give you a stat. For your listeners, this is an interesting stat. I'm for my sins, also director of my National Association of Commercial Finance Brokers, which is the biggest trade body in the UK. Mm-hmm. And they're all regulated members. There's about 2,000 plus members and about 1,100 regulated firms. We are today's bank managers of 30 years ago, because you don't see a bank manager now. You don't see anybody. You see someone in a bank that basically says, how can I take your money and put it on deposit for you? Not how can I help you actually borrow money for your business or for whatever your needs are. Okay. Yeah. So hold that thought for a minute. We generated as an organization last year, just from our members, over £45 billion worth of lending. Okay. And that accounted for 70% of all the commercial finance money raised for British businesses in the UK in 2022.
Wow.
Guess how much of that was done by the mainstream banks?
I have no idea.
As a percentage. Give me a wild guess.
Wow, mainstream banks, perhaps 60%?
Keep going lower.
Really? 20 then? Let's go right down.
Keep going lower.
Wow, we're less than 20%?
Yep, keep going lower.
Then I'm going to go right low and say 5%.
Bang on. That is the correct answer. 5%.
Wow. And what's happened to the friendly banking industry, eh? Why is it?
They become less friendly to small businesses. They are, what they do is they are happy to lend to people with asset security and size because it's an easy lend. Okay. Yeah. And I'm not being critical because I've done business with the big banks for big clients. Don't get me wrong. I've done that. But they don't cater for the man in the street business, the small business entrepreneur, the micro business, the sole trader, the small partnerships.
Isn't that almost contradicting, considering that this country pushes the independence of individuals actually starting up businesses? They want you to start up. All this funding is there in one way or another. And also, you know, then all of a sudden the people that you know, the facilities you're supposed to rely on, like the banking, are not there to support you. I mean, this is just...
There's two factors at play here. Number one, the cost of processing a small business transaction is exactly the same as doing a big deal. So if you're a large organisation, what do? You do the same job for a big deal because it makes you more money. So banks are a commercial business just like any other. So they've got to make their money. Mm-hmm. So the cost of transaction for a small deal is far greater than it is proportionately to the profit for a big deal. So they do the big stuff. So who fills the gap? This is where people like me come in. I work with lenders of all shapes and sizes, many of whom are non-banks, many of whom are private lenders, some of which are funded by the banks because the bank lends wholesale. In other words, they give them a line of credit and then they lend it to small businesses.
Wow.
They know how small businesses work. People don't know this. Right?
Wow. But that itself is crazy that you can't go to the bank, but the bank then lend money to the independents that we then go to get independent borrowing from.
Correct. And what that means is that the cost of borrowing is passed down the food chain down to the small business.
Wow.
And right now, small businesses are borrowing at rates more expensive in many cases than if you went online and got a personal credit loan or a loan to buy a car or a mortgage. It's actually more expensive to buy corporately right now across the board. It is to get a mortgage or a personal loan. That's the truth.
Mike, you were right in the firing line then of the financial world in a sense of, you know, the people that small businesses, one, thank you because you must care dearly for the industry to be where you are, which is the front line of stress, effectively, financial stress. You know, because I'm coming to you as a business, I'm financially stressed, so I wouldn't be looking for a loan. I wouldn't be looking for a way out or to increase my assets. It could be that I just want to grow my business or that the COVID has flatlined me and I need, you know, a potential runway for 6-12 months. Yeah. Yeah. I'm coming to you generally because I'm stressed. And, you know, how are you coming, bouncing out of COVID? How are you seeing the small business world reacting to, you know,
they're manfully getting through it because they care about their businesses too and they have their employees to care about. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that I'm just going to make a big macroeconomic comment here for your listeners. When you hear your government, whichever country you're in, whenever you hear your government talking about looking after the economy and small businesses, they only think in big terms. So they think the big banks are the solution to everything. They are absolutely not, right? The reality is that the big banks talk big but act small because they won't help the smaller businesses. Yeah. What they do instead is they lend through a chain right the way through to the smaller private lenders and some of the banks that don't have retail outlets. I use sort of subsidiaries of neobanks, online banks, merchant banks, as well as a whole plethora of private lenders I've amassed my contacts with over many, many decades. Wow. So when people come to me, I usually have a solution for them, okay? I will find a solution. But the cost of that solution is the food chain from the big bank or the private investor right the way through down to the small lender who then charges their money. Because don't forget, you know, not everyone pays their bills back. Some do default. So you have to cover that risk as well as a lender. And I know because I used to run finance companies and work for major banks. So I'm gamekeeper turned poacher, but I'm an informed poacher. Mm-hmm. I help people get a solution. Here's the thing. So the true cost to the economy, okay, the those who make the regulations and the law, okay, and the politicians that feed the lines that we're looking after the economy. The truth is, they really don't get it. And it's not a criticism, it's a fact. They don't get it, and yet they rely upon lots of people to pay tax, okay, to support the economy through public expenditure.
Yeah.
We pay the tax to keep all our services right. Now, my big concern is that because the banks don't really understand small business, they depend on small people, and I'm a small person, I pay my tax. They rely on people like me in a job to pay my tax to pay for public services.
Yeah.
Right? But the reality is that the small people pay. Because the bigger businesses right now, this isn't a political comment, tend to find ways to actually minimize their tax.
Yeah.
That's what bigger businesses do naturally. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah. It's almost like, avoiding tax is almost like a culture in its own way. If you've got the right people, the right people who you can pay the right salary to, they can actually save you money in taxing. Yeah. But here's the thing, coming back to, the SME world, and how they're having to reach out and find lenders. Because I've tried it myself, and I'm finding my business flatlined through COVID. I'm a business coaching business. We were the very first thing to get pulled. We effectively lose money. And I found that after the bounce back loans, there was nothing for me. I could, because my accounts didn't show enough money for me to get, lending in to create the runway, then basically, I struggled through and I had a battle with a leasing company, then suddenly there's a CCJ in my business, these kinds of things. And it was a horrible, horrible 2 years.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a bank. There wasn't anybody that I could find. And I'm guessing, Mike, that on a real sense, there's a lot of small businesses that I've gone through what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And luckily, I'm coming out the other end. Things are getting easier. But is it easier to lend now or harder to lend as a business?
It's easier to lend, but you have a two-tier society. There are a lot of small businesses owned by people who are not homeowners. And that tends to be in a demographic of under 40s, although increasingly there are now over 40-year-old people who are not homeowners. That's a consequence of something systemic in the system where we're not building enough houses. But that's another story, which is not for this discussion. Okay, the issue is that lenders like security, so they go to the easy position. So if you've got assets, they'll lend to you. If you don't have assets, the choices are far more limited.
Far
more limited. So if you have a limited company, that's fine. If you have a partnership that's strong, that's fine. So you're an easier lend, the more robust you are financially. But as you rightly say, for 2 years, it was carnage.
Yeah.
No one could survive.
Yeah.
The government had to step in to basically keep the economy afloat. Mm-hmm. That's why they did what they did. Whether you agree with it or not, in hindsight, is not for me to say. That's outside my pay grade. What I will say is that it was important to keep people working because, and this goes back to what I said earlier, the little guys, basically what they do is pay the tax. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and this comes, all that I do comes back to the fact that when small businesses don't know where to go, they go to the bank and the bank says, no, that's it. They stop. Most of them stop,
yeah.
Right? They don't know. So approaching someone like me, and there are many other firms and individuals like me who can find this financial solution, we fill the gap. So we are the bank managers of yesteryear. We can actually translate what the lenders have as English and what the customer understands as English and translate that and make the magic happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean the solutions are easy to get. Sometimes I have to turn people away because their aspirations or their expectation are not met by the reality of today's world. People complain about the interest rate. I go, well, have you tried somewhere else to get it cheaper? Can you get it on better terms? Mm-hmm. And they then come back and go, well, I can't. I say, well, told you this is what you could do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to give people uncomfortable truths to say, I'm sorry, but you're not actually strong enough credit wise to actually borrow money.
Yeah.
You're just not acceptable because you have these issues and I will point them out. That's part of my duty of care. I'm a regulated operator. So therefore I have to tell people sometimes bad news, but most of the time there's a solution.
It is. It's, you know, money is definitely the stress of most businesses. Well, all businesses in the SME world. These last 2 years, it is. It's been definitely a roller coaster. And what we're going to do then, Mike? I'm going to just run us into our first ad listeners, and we come back. We're going to get Mike's details and how we get a hold of Mike, and then we're going to deep dive. You know, really what the emotion of money, what that feels like, and also we got some juicy information on Mike's hobbies and things. So I'm going to come back to you in just a quick 90 seconds. So yeah, we'll be back pretty soon. Happy days.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, we are back in, of course, and we are with the wonderful True London, of course, Mike Deacon, and his Money Ways. I'm going to say Money Ways, but, you know, asset-based finance and all these. Listen, it is a minefield. I'm going to say that. It is, even through our conversation that we're having, Mike, I'm still having to process quickly, you know, what you're saying, because it's not easy to understand. And that's because, as you said in our first part of the show there, there's a layer into this that we don't know about, which is banks feeding into. And then, you know, before we took the break there, you spoke about two layers of lending, and that's, of course, homeowner, non-homeowner. I'm a non-homeowner. I owned a home for many years, and I decided to come off the ladder. That was my choice because I wanted to travel. I wanted to come out, and I didn't want to have that fixed location. Now there's a penalty for that, and you're absolutely right. I've paid and do still pay the penalty for not owning my own home. But I still, you know, I invest into the economy. I pay rent every month. That goes somewhere. I'm not sitting in a field in a van or a tent and not adding no value. I pay poll tax. I pay my gas. I pay my electric. I pay my rent, which effectively is nearly £1,000 a month. You know, all these things. But yet I'm deemed as someone that's insecure. Isn't that crazy?
It's mad. And unfortunately, it isn't going to change in the near future. I'm sad to say.
Wow.
But there are ways around it. And there are ways, especially for the smaller business people who are setting up on their journeys. I mean, the advice I give sometimes, I give advice without any condition. By that, I mean, sometimes there are solutions which actually people can actually take ownership of. For example, if you live, especially outside London, there are lots of regional grants available, which are available from the government.
Yeah,
you can go and search for them. So younger businesses, especially those under two to three years old, can borrow money, especially where they're not deemed credit worthy.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of sites available, especially in the Midlands, Northwest, Northeast of England and in Scotland. I'm not so sure about Ulster. Ulster has a unique demographic and a unique economy. So that has a slightly different connotation to it. And I don't deal in Northern Ireland personally. I do know lenders do. But I don't actively deal there. But on mainland, definitely there are places where you can get funding which is government sponsored and not too expensive. Mm-hmm. Some of it is personal, the startup loans, for example, which you can get. There's a £25,000 startup loan you can get. You're paying, I think, 8% for it, which the government will provide you, and it's a personal loan, which helps you to start your business off if you're brand new or a young business.
Yeah,
but there are other regional grants. Some are specific to sectors. So there's a lot of emphasis at the moment on energy, on clean tech, and on manufacturing and on niche industries. So there's places around that the government doesn't talk about.
Wow.
Right. But it's there. And I will signpost people happily to try that, because that's a way of them getting money, which they can control themselves. It doesn't cost them money, and it's government sponsored because they want to grow regional economies and keep people in business. Wow. So the government isn't all bad. You know, I'm not saying it's bad anyway, but it's they sometimes get bad press when actually they do good things. The trouble is they don't like talking about the good things. They'd rather sort of talk about the bigger things. if I can put it that way.
Yeah. Well, Mike, let's do this because I want people to reach out to you. So, listeners, we're going to shout out Mike details and we'll do it again before the end of the show. So, let's do this. Mike, can you shout out your address for us, your website address, please, my friend?
Yeah. My website is www.abfl-ltd.co.uk.
Happy days. And your email there, Mike?
Is Mike at abfl-ltd.co.uk.
Perfect. And we have also, do we have a mobile if you want to throw that out there or not? That's your call.
Yeah. No, I'll do that. And I'll do it as an international code because I don't know who's listening. It could be from people all over the world.
Absolutely.
That's +44 7739 329 538.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, my friend. And we can get you also on LinkedIn. That's correct.
Yes, you can. So you want my LinkedIn details. I knew you'd ask me.
I guess if we put in Mike Deacon, we're going to find you there no matter what. I don't know if there's
You any... will find me there, but I will try and, if you give me 2 seconds, I will dig out the address, which is always the good bit. So you'll find me at uk.linkedin.com/in/ Mike Deacon Commercial Funding. That's all one word.
Mike Deacon Commercial Funding would be the how we find you there, listeners. And we can, you know, and what I love about this opportunity with you, Mike, is to, you know, undo the layers of what money looks like in business. But also there's layers of this person here now. You know, you're a rock and blues fan, eh?
Yep, I am. I'm a rocker, really, but I love my blues as well.
So, you know, are you like an AC/DC man?
Yeah, I saw AC/DC when they first toured in the UK in 1975.
I am envious. I'm a big AC/DC fan myself. I love drumming and they're a big influence on my drums and things. Very much there. And, of course, the mighty Crystal Palace.
Yeah, correct. Season ticket holder, follow them for over 50 years. Over. So
if you're a season ticket holder, are you then considered to be a real fan? If you were, as opposed to someone who just buys a ticket occasionally.
Yes, I'm a proper fan. And I follow them through thin, and more thin.
And there's been some thin. Listen, I'm not a big football man myself, but I know there's been some thin with those guys.
Yeah. But we're having a good period at the moment, provided we stay in the Premier League. But we've never won a trophy in 100. Well, in fact, we are allegedly the oldest football club in the world. Even older than Sheffield FC and
really?
Notts County FC. Yeah, because we were one of the clubs when we were an amateur club before we disbanded and reformed in 1905. In 1861, we were one of the original clubs that wrote the rules of football.
Wow. Now, I tell you what, I learn something new every day. I certainly did know that, my friend. Absolutely not. Let me come back into a more formal question.
Yep.
Why this for a business? Now, we could talk about money and we could talk about, you know, any business, but let me come back to you are at the front line of emotions because money is an emotional subject in business.
Yeah.
It can take people to, you know, to happiness or to deep unhappiness, you know, True. In business. It truly can. I've lost friends from suicide because of money. You know, yeah. I've seen marriages split up. I've seen businesses fall because of money. So, you know, yep. where you are at this part, you can also make or break not just a business, but people's lives in where they can land or not. So why yep. are you, what put you in this place?
It's very simple. I have 3 words. Well, actually, it's a sentence. How can I help you?
Wow.
That's it.
I've heard you say that when we've been networking, you know, with that intention, but from this call we have here, from the interview, I'm realizing the depth as to what you mean by that when you say it.
Yeah. And it's help without condition. Yes, if people need money, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I get people reaching out saying, do you know somebody? Or can you help me with? Or can you point me in the direction of? And I will do that. And I will do that without condition. And why do I do that? Because A, I can. And B, it helps somebody else along their journey. I don't expect reward, especially if it's something that's outside my space. If it's not finance related, they want to know, do I know somebody? I will do that. Yeah. Sometimes I'll offer help or assistance. Sometimes, I mean, this morning I spoke to an organization that I've actually recommended to my own national association. And they, my colleagues reached back to me and said, oh, we haven't made content. I said, here we go. That's what we do. And they specialize in supporting businesses in a different way. The fact of the matter is, I get no benefit out of it, right? What I'm doing it for, in this particular case, is the benefit of my members of my association. So all my fellow brokers that do what I do, okay, they can benefit, and so can their customers.
Yeah.
So it's a big, I can help you, but I'm doing it through an association. You get my drift?
Absolutely, I do get your drift. I mean, from the very first time we met, you know, that the feeling that that people get from speaking with you is your pay it forward generosity. And that's something that's very clear when we have conversations, through how generous you are in wanting to help people on all levels. And when I say that, you're a family man. You're someone that's very in tune with your history, with who you are, where you come from. You're a typical Londoner and a community Londoner, not a drop-in and out Londoner, which are very different. You know, you understand the city, you've seen the changes, which means you, by understanding the city, you understand its life, what it feels like, and how you can help people.
Yeah.
That's that. You know, I met you through Lee Tooney, and his. But I mean, so many similarities in yourself and Lee there in your generosity. And that's why I wanted to bring it on, listeners. You want to really, really reach out to Mike. Reach out and just really dive into his experience. He'll certainly point you in the right direction in any way he can. And this isn't just about finances. This man knows a hell of a lot about business too. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of these changes. And again, Mike, you know, that kind of experience is so valuable now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, people don't know what they don't know. It's not a criticism. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
One of the advantages of getting old is that you know more things about a life in general that you can share. You need to share because you need to leave legacy. Okay. Now, I realize, and I do, I talk to my kids about this, they understand it. They're completely independent, self-sufficient people, and they're great, and they're really lovely human beings. I'm very, very happy that my children have grown up being normal, which is really good. But other people maybe don't have such a lucky journey in life, and they have real stories to tell. I mean, some of them are just terrible stories.
Yeah.
And what I really want to do is help people avoid bear traps, which could be a bear trap of a lack of knowledge. It could be a bear trap of making contact with the wrong people, or it could be a bear trap of ignorance, which is I don't know, or I can't find, or I need some help with. You know, that's not a criticism. It's just a way of helping people out of a tricky situation, or giving them knowledge they didn't have to empower them to do something better. And I would say this for everybody in life. Try and be a better you.
Wow.
Try and be a better you. If you can be a better you as a person, right, people will see that. You don't sell it. I spend a lot of time educating people. So when I go to a lot of networks where other people are suffering with problems or they need help with something, I don't sell. I've never sold. I don't use social media other than to educate. So, when I post on LinkedIn, and that's the only tool I use. I use that because it's a professional business brand.
Yeah.
I can use that. I will educate. I will never, ever sell. I don't need to sell because I've got enough traction because of the time I've been doing this for people to find me. And you and I having a conversation, we can talk. You either want to deal with me or you don't. I can't make people deal with me. Mm-hmm. But if people say, yeah, I can deal with you and I can make something happen, I will do it. I'll do my level best to do that.
I mean, it's obvious relationship networking is your thing because you've probably got a black book that's more valuable than any of my homes I've owned with the people you know. But do you find that if we look at the younger or even as businesses now in the SME world, and looking at money, borrowing and things, do you find, though, that people's money alignment in a sense of how they see money is a particular problem, in running their business? Because here's the thing, Mike, a fiver to me and a fiver to you effectively is the same amount of money, but yet emotionally is a different value because of our upbringing. And do you find that people in that calling that money alignment, you find that people's money alignment is sometimes so far out of drift is what creates a problem in the first place.
I think it's actually the answer to that question. It's a value-based system. It's how your values are as an individual. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an era, in an analog era, right? I'm going to use the analog digital comparison. I grew up in an analog era where basically, you know, you didn't have mobile technology. You had to, you know, if you said you're going to meet somebody at a certain time and place, you met them at a certain time and place. Yeah. You didn't have a mobile phone. I'm old enough not to have mobile phones for decades. Yeah. So you had to take personal ownership. You didn't have money at disposal. You had to earn it, you know. So you started doing part-time jobs when I was at school. I did loads of part-time jobs. Why? Because I had to pay for a lifestyle that I wanted. I couldn't get it. I had to go and earn it. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between maybe sort of 40, 50 years ago and today is immediacy. Priorities are different because you want to be seen to be looking good. And I'm not going to say this is a criticism, but people's value systems have changed to the point where their priorities on disposing of their income has changed dramatically. And there is also a deep down concern I have that people want to be seen to be looking good and important when actually they need to prove they're good and important.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
There are a lot of great young people, trust me, you know, and some of the people in my network, you know, my contact sphere, both business and personal, are just fantastic people, and they're younger than my kids. Mm-hmm. And they're really wonderful people. So I'm not going to make the generalization that the youth of today don't blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the old
one. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm not going to have that conversation because it's rubbish. Right? There are some fantastic young people with really good values and a good way of conducting themselves, both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
So I won't hear people will just denigrate young people. Yeah. They have a lot to offer. They're our future. We have to invest in young people. It is absolutely essential for the betterment of humanity, not just our personal enrichment. It's not about that.
But do you think, Mike,
I just want to say, it's the money piece that I do is just effectively fuel in a car. You can't drive a car with no fuel in it. Well, or no working battery, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Same principles, all right? Sorry. But I, in a way, I create fuel. It's all I try and do to enable people to carry on their journey.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a it's a slightly cheesy sort of analogy, but it's true.
Yeah.
If I don't help people find the fuel and provide the fuel to enable them to carry their journey, they can't carry on that journey. So for me, it's about sustainability, but it's also about legacy. Legacy is really important.
That's really interesting. It is. Do you think that, Mike, when we think about the younger generation coming through, it's like, so I'm 54. I had a time without mobile phones too, where we had to go and put a coin in the box to make a call.
Yeah.
But also, I'm looking at my daughters, you know, they are 21 and 20, coming up to 23. And, you know, we were brought up feeling money. We had it in our hand. We had it in our pocket. We had that, oh, look at our pussycat coming up there. She's beauty. So we had money. We know what money felt like in our pocket. We know what money felt like in our hands. We know what it felt like to count money out and do business, where the younger generation don't have this now. They don't have this exchange of paper money. Do you think that also is a cause and effect on being able to get, really understand the value of the essence of what money is?
Yeah, I think it's what money does for you. And I think the living in a digital world as we do now, you know, I've got notes I carry. I very rarely use cash now. I use everything online. Everything has become, in a generation, it switched from in-person to in-person, with the emphasis on the I am rather than the IN.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Wow.
It's impersonal, right? So money transactions are a tool to make you do things. Digitalization speeds everything up. So it speeds up your need for anticipation, your need for desire to actually achieve something quicker, desire to get something quicker. It applies also in the money world. People want instant decisions, right? But there is also one factor that we all forget. People deal with people. So it doesn't matter how fast you can make something happen, you still need the fundamental of human contact, human transaction. You still need to engage with people. You see on social media, you see influencers influencing young people and old people alike. Let's just not forget the old as well. They go on social media just as much as the young. They just have a very different outlook of what the outcomes are that they're seeking. Okay, but the whole point is, I'm probably a little bit of analog and digital combined, you know, both in my personal and my business. I love the speed that you have with a digital system. You can get stuff done quickly.
Okay? Yeah.
And you also need the analog personal touch. You will never lose that.
Yeah.
You need to relate to people. People need to understand what you're doing to help them. And that's the human emotion that we all need and we all need to nurture.
Absolutely. And, I love
That's critical.
Yeah, making sure we follow through on our heart-to-heart business. And listeners, we're going to jump into our second commercial. When we come back, have your pens and paper ready because we're going to give Mike's details again, his contact details, so you can reach out to him and make the most of your money.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, and we are back in, of course, with the wonderful, the handsome Londoner, Mike Deacon, the man who knows money within money. I mean, this man, actually, it's not about the money with Mike, it's about the emotional understanding, it's about keeping you level, it's about really giving you the insights into how this whole system works and how there are friendly people out there called Mike Deacons who do know this industry and can point you in the right direction, not just there to help you financially, but also to help you emotionally, there to help with the business. And do you know what? This man, this beautiful person in front of me has been through his own life tests, that's for sure. If I come back and I want to look at Mike, so I go here, you know, last year you were diagnosed and treated with prostate cancer?
Yeah, in 21. Yeah, I got diagnosed in the... By complete fluke, I found out I had it. I didn't even know I had it.
Wow.
So I went in for a routine blood test because I do that every... I've been doing it since my late 50s. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it for several years. And my GP went, don't like this, I'm going to refer you. And that was 11th of June 2021. And 3 weeks later, I got told I got diagnosed with sort of intermediate prostate cancer. Just one of those things.
Wow.
2 months later, I had an operation and I had everything removed. All the work's taken out. Luckily, they caught it all. It hadn't spread. I was very lucky. But how was I lucky? You don't get lucky by luck. You get lucky by being sensible.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you do as you get older is you look after yourself, mind and body. I've been losing a lot of weight because I was pre-diabetic. I'm now normal, thank God. I do a lot of activities. So hiking, love hiking. We'll talk about that later, maybe. But I have done some big hikes.
Some really big hikes.
Yeah, so that's a little spoiler alert for a bit later on this chat. I mean, I had 3 months of complete mental sort of, what do I do? And I decided I'm just going to carry on as normal. I can't do anything different. I can't change what's going on. I've got a solution. I've been offered it. I've taken it. I've had it. I've had a month's recovery. And since then, thank God, touch wood, you know, I've been okay. And it's all down to the fact that you make luck by doing the right thing. So as you get older, just look after your body, look after your, you know, keep exercising, eat well, do those things and check yourself regularly.
Yeah.
When I found out I had cancer, all my male friends basically took tests. One of them had cancer.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Nuts. He had it.
That's incredible.
And I took him to the same hospital. I had my operation at Charing Cross Hospital. With the wonderful Dr. Giles Hellowell, fantastic surgeon, right? Same surgeon. He had a pretty good outcome as well. He did have a bit of spread, but they got it. And he didn't know he had it either. He had a routine. He took a blood test just by chance because he fell over him and broke his elbow.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I have the lung. And they found out he had it.
Wow.
By complete fluke. So if for anyone listening out there, especially our male listeners, if you're of a certain age, check your bloods regularly for anything for your PSA, your prostate-specific antigen. Check it out and check your sugars out. Those two things are vital as you get older because when your body falls apart, right, you want to keep it going as long as possible. check, and recheck.
So true. So true. Mike, that's just brilliant it is. And thank you for that heads up for our generation because I'm 54 and I'm coming into that generation for sure is where we are. But I want to do this before we go into any of that. So let's have your contact details again. So the website is, Mike?
It's www.abfl.com. mikedeacon-ltd.co.uk.
And we can get him on LinkedIn, which is, of course, Mike Deacon, was it?
Commercial funding. Find him with Mike Deacon, commercial funding. One.
Happy days. And, of course, we'll just us. And the email then is?
mike@abfl-ltd.co.uk.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And Jess, let me just, as we come into the last portion here, I just want to say, see, you were actually involved with the Eurotunnel?
Yeah, back in the day, when I was in my late 20s, I spent 2 years of my life working for a major Japanese bank, AAA rated bank, negotiating with 30 other people, that's construction companies and other banks, the Channel Tunnel construction contract.
Wow, that must have been interesting, eh?
Fantastic. What great experience that was. It really was nuts. And the funny part about it was my university don, I studied geography at University College. And my university don and I were talking right through all the discussions. I couldn't talk about the confidential stuff. But he said to me one day, he said, it's never going to work, is it? I said, no, it isn't. And we both chatted about it, right? The numbers were all based on, let's say, fantasy. I think it's the right word.
Yeah.
So have that in mind for something I'm going to say in a minute, which is my personal bugbear. You've got a tube that's 25 miles long, okay?
Yeah.
You can only run trains, a certain number of trains, because they all have to have a 90-second gap for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never run more than X trains in a 24-hour period with a 90-second gap. It's impossible to run more.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's dangerous, okay? And all the numbers were produced on the basis that, you know, you could do double or treble the figures. It was never going to work. It wasn't a government investment. It was a government concession, a lease, to those who understand the word lease. 55 years. It comes up for renewal in 2032. There you go. I didn't even know that was going to happen, but it's 2032. It comes up for renewal.
Wow.
The banks put in 5 billion quid. It turned it to 10 billion quid, and they wrote the lot off. And then they converted all their debt to equity. It works now, but return on investment, they might as well have thrown it in the sea or gone down to Las Vegas because that's what it was worth. That would have been the right thing to have done because you had more chance of getting a return out of Las Vegas than you would have done out of that.
That's just when you say that, you think, wow, how come, you know, these people who are in charge of these projects just don't see the numbers?
They do. And the reason they did the deal was because it was a political detente between the UK and the French governments to make the magic happen. So they saw this as semi-government, semi-underwritten, but it wasn't. It was a private venture. So the banks had to swallow their pride and eat hay. That's what they did. And I say that because HS2, this is a personal thing of mine, HS2 is Channel Tunnel Mark II, trust me.
Yeah.
In my personal view. Mm. It's only a personal view. And I have written to them and I have explained my position to them and they've replied back to me very politely and I've got that reply which I've had now for over 4 years and I'm going to keep it tucked away because when the day of reckoning comes and the government taxpayers, you and me, pay for this.
Wow, isn't it?
I mean, Las Vegas 2 looms.
This has been such a beautiful call. I've really enjoyed having you on and guesting on. You are a bottomless well of information. There's so much experience and knowledge you are there. And I call out to all the listeners here, anybody that's not just wanting advice on you know, UK finances, SME borrowing and things, but this man knows so much about business, so much about people, and he's very authentic. One of the most authentic people I've met in networking, for sure. He's a beautiful person. And I guess if you want to know anything about London, or of course Crystal Palace, this lad knows it all. So please, listeners, reach out to him. The details, so give me your website again then, please, Mike.
Yeah, it's www.abfl-ltd.co.uk.
Happy days. And you can find Mike, of course, on LinkedIn. You will see him there. He's a beautiful lad. Typical Londoner. He's an handsome man, so you'll not miss him for sure. But Mike, this has been absolutely wonderful. Been stoked to have you on to really get to understand, you know, what, of course, what asset-based financing is, what it kind of feels like, what it looks like, giving us the ins and the outs, which is something we don't get very often. Mike, let's hope that Crystal Palace do bring a trophy home before your time. Before your time is done, you're on the
before computer. I die. Yeah, before I die. It could be a long wait.
Listen, let me do this. We've got about 20 seconds. If there was one piece of advice you could give to an SME startup, what would that be?
I'll give two pieces of advice. Number one, plan, plan, and plan. And number two, if you're really serious, just do it now.
Happy days. Listeners, until this time next week, of course, have a wonderful, beautiful week. And I will catch you. Look after your money. Look after you. And above all, love everybody around you. And I'll say bye for now and boom! Emotions are